opportunity to be able to gather together again in your house today. Just thank you for your love and forgiveness to us. That you're able to have forgiveness of our sins and eternal life. And Lord, we just ask that you would teach us from your word this morning. Just draw us closer to yourself and help us be equipped for what you have for us this week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Philippians chapter 1, and let's start in verse 10. Philippians 1 and verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So last time we looked at that verse 10, approving of things that are excellent. And then today we're going to be focused more on verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. What a blessing it is. And Paul is writing to the Philippian church. What a blessing it is when you haven't seen someone for a while and then you see that person again and you hear them talk about the Lord and what the Lord's doing in their lives and what the Lord is doing in the lives of others. And what a blessing that is. So, what fruit is supposed to grow on our Christian tree, on us? Well, let's if you hold your place here, let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. Galatians 5:22. The Bible says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, then joy, then peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's some apple trees over by Walmart on, I guess that's Satterley Road, and the fruit is still on a lot of those trees. And, of course, it's gone through many freeze-thaw cycles now, so that fruit isn't looking so well at this point. But as we think about it, what kind of fruit are people seeing on us, this Christian tree? Do they see verse 22, the fruit of love? Yeah, then there's so much hatred right now. I forget what I did. I didn't pull right out in front of someone, but I did pull out and someone was going fast. It was trying to think where I was. And my wife and I were talking about it. It was out on witnessing yesterday. Jesse's out there. Where were we? And someone was really coming fast, and so I pulled out, and then the person come right up. I think that's probably where Jesse saw it, was in his mirror. Somebody come right up on my tail then, and I think he said something like, "Oh, they're in a hurry." And I said, "Yeah, I saw that." And I was just about to say to him, "I'm surprised they didn't honk their horn at me, because people don't have any patience today." Brother Steve was talking about patience. And I was just starting to say that, and they honked their horn. It was funny. But people, it's like, wow. People are in a hurry to get everywhere. So, but do people see the fruit of love in us? Then the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, the fruit of long-suffering, the fruit of gentleness, the fruit of goodness, the fruit of faith. Verse 23, the fruit of meekness, temperance. What kind of fruit do they see in us? Do they see that we have a servant's heart, or do they see that we have a heart for ourselves? What do they see? I pray that people could see these fruits. This week, I pray that we would think about that. Okay, I'm a fruit tree. Each of us are fruit trees. What will people see on us? If they don't see the good fruit, well, then they'll see the bad fruit. And that starts in verse 19. Now the works of what? The flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Don't we see a lot of that right now? Everywhere you turn, you see it. That's what you see. Of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So, as Paul is writing back, if you go to Philippians there again, in verse 1, he's writing back to the Philippian church, and he says in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. Doesn't it just bless your heart when you run into a saint of God and you just think that their lives are filled with fruits of righteousness? It's so refreshing. Where are we at right now? Well, right now, you'd have to say in the world, it's out of season. That is, good fruit is out of season. You know, in our state here, it seems like there's more cold throughout the year than warmth. Summer seems really short compared to the cool fall, the winter, and then the cool spring. So when we get fruit during a lot of our cold, it comes from somewhere else. It might be from Florida, it might be from California, it might be from Chile, maybe Honduras, bananas or something. So we get our fruit from somewhere else. So this world needs to see that even though good fruit is out of season here, they need to see that someone is bringing good fruit from afar. And guess who that should be? Us. Where can we get this good fruit? Well, we just saw in Galatians chapter 5 that it's the fruit of what? Okay, the fruit of Christ, the fruit of the Spirit. So we need to pull our fruit from afar right now, because good fruit on this world is out of season right now. You can't find it anywhere. But we can bring it from a far country and from heaven, from the Holy Spirit working in us. Speaking of out of season, let's go to 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. So we have access to this fruit, whether it's in season or out of season. In 2 Timothy 4:1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant what? In season, then what? Out of season. I was looking for some things last night to put on the cover of the bulletin. I ended up pulling forth, if you've looked at it, that was actually 2 years ago when we got that new cement mixer for the Roncs in Brazil. But I was looking at all kinds of pictures from the church and this and that, and park ministries. Brother Ethan, you were in one of those park ministries, and I think you were about this tall. And Brother Jerry, I was in many of them, preaching and holding up the scripture signs. The height of a lot of young people has changed drastically. And probably our hair color has changed drastically too since some of those years. But it was so refreshing to look back at the fruits. To see getting the Word of God out there. And, you know, back then it wasn't always in season, was it? We were out there and sometimes people would call 911 on us. That's such a dangerous situation. You have church people singing hymns, modestly clothed, preaching the Word of God. That's like terrorists, right? I mean, that's what they call us sometimes. They refer to us as terrorists. But anyway, people call 911. But just looking back on it was precious. It says, verse 2, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know, if you live long enough, you're going to see your old ties come back in style. When I was younger, I had some paisley things. Well, guess what? Paisley's back. Wide ties, skinny ties, striped ties. It doesn't matter. If you keep them long enough, they're going to come back in style. It's even that way, strangely, with cars. There are certain cars today which are so reminiscent of the styles of when I graduated from high school. There was it might be a Dodge Challenger or something like that. I was trying to think if it was still the same name. I think it is. But back when I graduated from high school, like, I don't know if the brand new ones, like the 24s, are like that. But anyway, some of the recent years, it's like, you look at that, they're going back to the same shape. Body styles of pickups, you know, they go one way with the fad, go back the other way. And you think about it spiritually, you know, we've seen in Saddleback Church out in California, it was pastored by Rick Warren, and he drastically corrupted the music of churches all over America and the world. He handed out 3x5 cards one day to his church people and asked them to write down the call letters of the radio stations that they listened to. And so they did. And he compiled them all. And he described it as kind of like pop rock was what the majority of them listened to. So he said he made a strategic decision based on that. And they went over to that type of music in their church. And their church exploded in growth. And then the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention, of course, when he did that, we were speaking the Word of God, Ephesians 5:19. Well, let's just go there so you can see. I'm sure many of you know it by heart, but just so you can see it, Ephesians 5:19. The Bible says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So the Bible's clear. It's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. This is what the songs we should make melody in our hearts. So this is what we listen to, what we sing in private. Should be psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And then in Colossians chapter 3, what we do in public. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So this is what we do, teaching and admonishing one another. So Colossians 3:16 are the songs that we should sing and play in public before others. Ephesians 5:19. What we play and sing in private, it's the same. It's psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So, anyway, so the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention were just in awe of Rick Warren and how his church was just exploding in growth. And so they went to meet him and talk with him. And he said, Rick Warren wrote, that they sat cross-legged, I assume on the floor. And so these leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention are sitting before this man whom they are just in awe of at the growth of his church. And so we're saying that shouldn't be. Well, Just stand on the Word of God. Stand on Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3:16. If you stand long enough, you will see those who have gone off into error. You'll see that fall. Well, that happened. Rick Warren retired from the church after they found a replacement, and it was a husband-wife team. I don't just mean a pastor and his wife. I mean Mr. Pastor and Mrs. Pastor, literally. And so the Southern Baptist Convention got wind of that, and they said, no, we stand on the Scripture that women shouldn't be preaching and teaching. And if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and now Rick Warren wasn't used to people, especially in his own denomination, actually standing up to him, because they were all, well, as a general group, were in awe of him and his great accomplishments. And so he wasn't quite used to it, so he appealed their decision, because they met together, the Southern Baptist Convention, and decided that they should oust Saddleback Church from the Southern Baptist Convention. And so in their convention, they allow for appeals. So Rick Warren himself, even though he was retired from that church, he himself appealed the decision before the whole convention, and he lost it. So it was voted twice to remove them from the Southern Baptist Convention. So my point is this: if we stand on the Word of God, in the end, we'll see the fruit of it, that it's right. And we'll see those that go in error from the Word of God, you will see their downfall sooner or later. It's like Rob Bell from Mars Church in Grand Rapids, another church just exploding in growth. The same thing, rock, Christian rock music. And today that man does not even attend church. Sometimes he travels with Oprah Winfrey, if I said her name right, if you can believe that. And it's just stand on the Word of God. But in 1 Corinthians 14, thankfully the Southern Baptist Church stood. Verse 34, in 1 Corinthians 14:34. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." Now, there's a lot of people today that say, that was just a cultural thing. The Apostle Paul was just a male chauvinist, and he had something down on women. That's probably, why he didn't get married. I mean, that's the line of thinking that these people go down. But read on. "What? Came the word of God out from you only? Or came it unto you only? If any man think himself to be what? A prophet or what? Or spiritual. Let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are what? The commandments of the Lord." God knew that down the road, people were going to say, that Paul, he just had something against women. So the Holy Spirit had him right in here. Listen, verse 37. "If someone thinks they're spiritual, then let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord." The commandments of the Lord. The Southern Baptist Convention, you need to pray for them. There's many other issues that they're facing, but they actually stood on that one. So even though we were in 2 Timothy 4, even though it's out of season right now to stand on the Word and preach the Word, just stand, and you'll see in the end. There's all kinds of fads that are coming into the church, but stand on the Word of God. No, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. What would people say of us if they hadn't seen us for years and years? I had a man at the funeral. Actually, we didn't even get into the church. And a man outside of the church Friday said, I don't know if he said, are you Brother Austin? Or I forget how he started it, but I said, yes, sir. And so he began to describe who he is. And they lost their daughter tragically to cancer, and it's really difficult for them. And would people recognize us still? I know we age. I know our hair color changes, and but would people recognize us spiritually? I'm talking. Would they recognize us spiritually? Today, in today's professing Christianity, people don't seem to get religious fruit when it comes to modest dress. Notice in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not what? Fashioning yourselves according to what? The former lust in what? Your ignorance. Do you think in heaven people will be immodestly clothed? Not a chance. Not a chance. Well, if you go on here then, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. No, there's not a chance that there's going to be anybody dressed immodestly in heaven. Not a chance. But didn't we just see last week about praying that God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven? Notice in Revelation 1 and verse 13. The Bible says here, and we'll be looking at this later today, but it says that in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto who? The Son of Man. So now we're seeing like a heavenly setting or scene of the Lord Jesus. And it says he was clothed with a garment, what? Down to the foot, and gird about the paps with a golden girdle. So the Lord himself is in this heavenly scene, is clothed modestly here. But in our day, it's like people take such offense in this matter. It's like, don't tell me how to dress. Shouldn't we want to know how God wants us to dress? I would think so. You know, I've never heard anyone complain when they join the army, and maybe there is a lot of complaining, but it doesn't seem to stop people from joining. But you know what? In the army, everyone has to dress the same. Everyone has to dress the same. But I've never heard them call army personnel, Air Force, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard. I've never heard anyone say, oh, look at those guys. They must be part of some cult. They're all dressed in green or blue or white. Look, they're all dressed the same. I'll have to check this out. They must be some type of cult. But you take a group of Christians who will dress modestly, and it's like in Luke chapter 8. They see this once demon-possessed man sitting and clothed, whereas before he wear no clothes, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and the scriptures say, and they were afraid. The people of that community were afraid of them. This guy once lived in the cemeteries, cutting himself, crying, not sleeping, going around without clothes on. I mean, think of a wild man. Who would even want to take that road? If there was another road, you would take it. You see, this man, now transformed by the power of God, sitting, clothed in his right mind, and they ask Jesus to leave. They ask Jesus to leave. You would have think they would have asked him to stay. Hey, wow, look what you did for this man, this demon-possessed man who wear no clothes, who was not in his right mind, who was cutting himself, crying, breaking chains, fetters. Jesus, if you can do that for that man, hey, I've got relatives that need you. I mean, wouldn't you think people would be lined up a long line to say, Jesus, please come to my house. This is my address. I want to get in line. I need you. Wouldn't you think that's what I would have done? But no, they ask him to leave. They ask him to leave. How say it? Well, very sad. Notice the 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. So, fruit. Fruit. What do people see? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the what? Temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? How many of you would give over the decision what color that your house is? How many of you would gladly give it over to anyone? Any person here? Brother Joe? No? The color is set? You know what? People like different colors. In Mexico and in Greenland, it seems like it's similar. It's like bright, vibrant colors. In America, it seems like it's more like generally more subdued tones. I mean, you have your whites and your yellows, but I mean, it's not like even the yellows are not like a fluorescent yellow. I mean, if you look at the pictures from Greenland and from Mexico, it's like a lot of times they're really bright, bright colors. We have a little more mild. But our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Shouldn't He have the right to decide how we look on the outside? He should have that right. Verse 16, once again here, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. It's kind of like it's kind of like the way people are covering themselves with tattoos. If we are the temple of God, shouldn't God have the right to say if He wants us to mark up our bodies or not? It's like cars. Does anyone here have a problem if I decide to spray paint some things on your car or truck? You know, yeah, you're not going to spray paint anything on my car or truck. Why? Well, because it's yours, that's why. You have the right to say that. Notice in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19. 1 Corinthians 6:19. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. We've been bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in what? Your body. Your body, and in what? Your spirit, which are whose? God's. So our body and our spirit are God's. So we are bought with a price. There are so many people that say God does not care about the outside. He only cares about the inside. Well, this one verse 20, And a lot of other verses show them wrong. God does care. It's just like with your car. You care how it is on the inside, or maybe you don't care how it is on the inside. Maybe you only care about the outside. There can be that problem too. And I should talk, because our car needs cleaning on the inside a lot more than I get it done. But God cares about both. He wants us pure and holy on the inside. He wants us pure and holy on the outside, because He bought the whole thing, the whole possession. Well, our time is out here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would help us to have godly fruit. I pray that others could see on the outside just a glimpse of what's on the inside. Hearts that are dedicated to You. Hearts that are longing for purity and holiness. Hearts that want to please You. And I pray that they could see those fruits hanging on the outside as well. So help us, Lord, this week to be fruit-bearing Christians. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord bless you. I think service starts about 10 minutes.